Today's podcast is brought to you by RetouchUp.com. RetouchUp wants to be your photo editing partner. They help you streamline your workflow to keep you doing what you do best, shooting, selling, or just enjoying life. Listen later in the show for how you can receive a special discount code from RetouchUp.com.
You're listening to the Photo Bomb Podcast with the world's greatest photographers, Boo Ray and Gary.
Welcome to the Photobomb Podcast. My name is Boo Ray Perry, and joining me as always is Gary Hughes.
Hey, you strike me as a man who skillfully yet casually has avoided hard labor his entire life. Would you say that's accurate?
My wife many times will say to me, "You have the softest hands," and then laugh as I give her my standard reply, "A lifetime of avoiding manual labor."
That's right, right. Yeah, you do strike me as, like, it's not something that I feel like you do in a way that's annoying. I feel like that you've cultivated such an aura about you that no one would expect you to do it. Like, no one would even bother to ask you.
Yes, yes. No one calls me and goes, "Hey, you want to help me move?"
Yeah, because, I mean, you've done such an impressive PR campaign to get your brand out there. And the brand, the Boo Ray brand is, "I don't lift things that are heavier than a coffee mug unless I have to."
Unless I have
to. And even then, I prefer to pay someone else to do it.
Well, in today's modern age, with money, if you have a little bit of money, it's just not necessary. I got called down to Miami in the heat of summer to help the family gathered to help my mother-in-law work on her yard. And we're out there and they're like, they're going to be planting and doing this. And we have to pretty much grade the yard. And I'm looking at them going, "Okay, what you want to do here is great. But this yard's got to be graded first because the water's not going to run off right." I go, we got to get the shovels out and we got to start trying to do this by hand. And I'm getting frustrated. And Bobby's like, "Hey, just help out." And I'm like, "Listen, I could, for $300, I could hire a couple of guys that would come in here and do this for us.
And
and do a better job of it."
And with more enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, I'm like, you know, it's not that I hate the work. It's inefficient for me to do it. It's much more efficient to have someone else.
You done picked the wrong fella.
Yes, you have done picked the wrong. I had somebody come over and fix our sliding glass door the other day.
Mm.
Oh, that was the best $145 I ever spent in my life.
Yeah?
You couldn't move the door. I mean, the door was like, open the door. They came over, they pulled it. They had those big sucker things like a cat burglar uses, you know, to climb the tower. They go, they pulled that thing off. They threw it on the things. They cleaned it. They put new wheels on it. They put it down. Now it's a dream, Gary. Oh, it's a dream opening that door. You just touch it and it rolls back and forth.
I kind of want to come over and just open the door.
$145, I'd have paid him twice that much for me not have to fix it.
Yeah, and also to not have to think every time you open that door, "Gonna have to get this fixed."
Yes, absolutely.
Like, you know, and now that thing is off your mind. That's priceless.
Yeah.
We just decided to hire some painters to paint the inside of the house because
the painting's the worst.
Yeah, a few weeks ago, I spent an entire Sunday painting the damn bathroom.
No.
And then, I mentioned this on the show. So we got the painters, they came out, and then they threw a number at us to paint the inside of the house. And it's not a small number,
no,
but I was like,
no,
I looked at it and went, "Totally worth it." It's like, I'll sell a camera if I have to. I am not painting the inside of this house.
Yeah, painting's not cheap. And it's because you just go paint one wall. I'm going to paint this wall. And the next day you wake up, your back is sore, your shoulders are sore.
The muscles that you didn't know were muscles hurt.
Yeah.
Now, I have a vaulted ceiling in my living room. So I would either have to do a ladder. These guys, they come in with stilts and they go all around. They just walk in and they paint it. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, you know what? Hire a professional to do the thing, especially if it's like, there's time is so short in this life of ours, man. You know, let's not spend that time, spend as little of that time as possible doing things that, like, we absolutely hate. I mean, when you're a kid, make kids do stuff they hate, like, because they got to learn that, you know, sometimes you have to do stuff you hate. But once you're an adult and you've worked to get to a certain level in your life, don't spend time doing things that you hate if you don't have to. You know, just a little piece of advice for the Bombardiers from me. And you also, I wanted to say, I did my first two location shoots in 6 months back to back yesterday and today.
All right. I do want to say I lifted a dresser and brought it upstairs yesterday.
Why on earth What'd you do?
Dresser. Well, dresser for my daughter, got a new dresser. So I had to bring that up. Which then, of course, led to a little bit of a, not, I wouldn't say a fight, but a discussion with my wife.
A kerfuffle?
Because I was like, well, you know, we lay it with the top down on the carpet. And then we can just slide it.
You'll scratch the top, but you'll scratch it.
Yes, you'll scratch the top. This is actually, you might scratch the top. To which I thought, if there's something in this carpet that could scratch the top, we would have discovered it with our bare feet by now.
This is exactly why we can't have nice things, Boo-Ray. I've been trying to tell you.
I'm like, it's not going to scratch the dresser.
You are the reason we can't have nice things.
And the second thing is, we're talking about a teenager's room. If you think the top of the dresser is going to look nice in a year, you're crazy.
You know, it's going to be so covered with, like,
I'm just saying, when you were a teenager, did you go in there with the wood rub and make sure your dresser stayed in beautiful shape all the time when you were 12?
There was some wood rub in my room.
There was some wood rub in your room.
but there was definitely some wood rub. Not for that.
Hopefully not on top of the dresser.
No. You got to hide that in the sock drawer every time.
And yet another.
Inside a pair of socks.
And yet another listener now turning off the car radio because their 10-year-old is in there.
Yes. Speaking of which, we got some amazing feedback from Bombardiers. David, I'm sorry, I'm going to screw this up. Putzier, whatever. I apologize. You should have given me a phonetic spelling. He says, I really enjoy the brand new podcast you guys have started, Panty Talk with Boo-Ray and Gary. Super informative. Subscribe. So thanks, David. We appreciate you being in there for the Panty Talk. You know, like, it is what it is.
He obviously doesn't understand me. I mean, you, fine. You understand me. Is there anything I'm not willing to talk about?
No, that's the thing is, and maybe it's your life experience. Maybe it's because you've done so much improv and been in so many places of sort of, you know, public interaction, being a radio host for so long, being the guest of honor in parades in small town America. Maybe you're just used to it. But I am constantly amazed by the things. I will bring something up intentionally to be cheeky to see how you react, and you always double down and go right in on top of it.
Well, no, it has nothing to do with anything you said. It comes from not wanting to ever be embarrassed. I have an aversion to embarrassment. I just don't want to ever be embarrassed. And so I just steer into anything that – is this a delicate topic? Let's talk about the delicate topic.
Because rather than let yourself be embarrassed, you're going to make that topic okay. I just don't think there's much use for it.
There's just not much – the things that people get embarrassed about are so silly. You know, like Everybody farts. Everybody wears underwear. Everybody – you know what I mean? And I find it fascinating the things that we – oh, you can't talk about that. Oh, you can't show that. And I'm like, everybody does it. You know, everybody's got wood rub
everybody's got to rub the wood now.
Yeah, so, you know, I wouldn't have gone that far, but okay.
See, are you embarrassed now?
I'm not embarrassed.
You're turning red a little bit.
Ashamed would be a better word.
Oh, okay. All right. That's like embarrassment's cousin is shame. Shame.
So anyway, do you have another review?
Terrell Woods writes, I've gathered all the 13 to 16 year old surfers and skaters on my street to listen to very informative PSA on underwear. Y'all doing the Lord's work in these pandemic times. And obviously, Boo-Ray had the open parts of the park on his mind when discussing that Swedish car. Splendid show, as always. So thanks. I'm not sure what that last thing was about. Maybe that's an inside joke between you guys.
Talking about the Volvo.
Oh, the Volvo.
The Volvo.
Oh, the open. Okay, now I'm with you. I'm slow on the uptake. All right, cool. So I had my first two location jobs back to back. And obviously, it's Florida. Obviously, it's August. And if you've ever been to Florida in August, you know what I'm talking about. I shot outside for two jobs, a couple of hours each time, doing some portraits for a magazine this morning, for a trade magazine, and yesterday for a local investment team at this park for their annual company photo. And gosh, as I was on that job site today, because I used to work construction years ago, and I had forgotten just how miserable of a job that is to be a construction worker or a tradesman in Florida in the summer. I was going on to the job. I got out of my car. I got to the job at about like 8:45 this morning. I get out of the car with my iced coffee and my little mug, and I do a little stretch, a little walk around, and I'm like, man, this is nice. It's a beautiful day. It's not so hot. And so then I'm scoping the site out about an hour later when the shoot starts. I get out of my air-conditioned car, And jeebus, it is just already, it's just brutal. And I'm soaked. I had to go home and change clothes on my way back from the job. And so as I'm leaving the job and I'm just sweating, my underwear is soaked, my shirt's soaked, my pants are soaked, my socks are soaked, my hair is soaked. And I'm walking off the job and I look back over my shoulder to see this like multi-million dollar home that's being built. And then I see all of these just ripped, like grizzled dudes just sweating, and not one of them is complaining. They're just lifting gigantic objects and operating heavy machinery and not complaining. And I thought, man, those guys are awesome. Also, I'm really glad that I don't do that for a living anymore.
You don't think you would get used to it? I mean, when I used to shoot beach weddings, people would say, how can you do that? You know, you're so hot and you're so sweaty. But I got used to it. You just accepted it. And I'll tell
absolutely.
You this, though.
Once you're out in it, you get used to it.
And I'll tell you this, though. When you come off of a job like that, you feel good about yourself. You feel like you've done a job.
And you sleep like a baby.
Yeah, but you feel like I did a job. You know, I'd get in my car, I'd be covered in sweat and sand after shooting a beach wedding, and I'd drive home, I'd feel better. I'm like, I did a job today. I worked. I earned my money. You know, and that's a good feeling. You know, not that you need to do that to feel that way, but it just helped.
Yeah, I did that yesterday. I did it was like a half day commercial shoot for this company, and they wanted headshots, but they wanted them to be more situational rather than just a person on a solid color background. So it was like, you know, the other people in the office were like props out of it, and they wanted everybody out of focus except for the subject. So they wanted kind of more action, like a featured editorial image of each of the 12 team members, but with the other team members sort of out of focus and in and around it. So I did something that I don't ever do, is I have just gotten for my EOS R5, I got the 85mm 1.2 from CPS, from Canon Professional Services. So I got a loan of that and the 35mm 1.8. So the 85mm 1.2 is a very expensive high-end 85, and it's a technical marvel. It's an incredible piece of machinery. The 35mm 1.8 is the cheapest lens in the RF lineup. It's about $400 or $499, I think. It's the cheapest lens they make for the R series at this point. And oh my God, this is the first time I've really done a run at the R series cameras with the RF glass on it. And at the same time, on the same day, Capture One added support for the EOS R5 finally. And so I was able to process them in the normal way with a good color profile. And holy crap, I could not believe how these images worked. I took a gamble because of everything that I've read about the lenses, and I shot the entire job at F2 instead of the whole job, because I needed to get those depths of field. I needed to make everybody out of focus except the subject. So I set up all the shots, everything at F2. Pretty much every shot was just dead razor tack sharp, just pin sharp, like everywhere you want it to be. Like the eye autofocus plus the image stabilization plus the new lenses, I couldn't believe it. I absolutely could. I took 100 pictures and 90 of them were just tack sharp.
Well, it's nice to see that what we predicted a while back about the way that Sony works versus the way that Canon works is still exactly happening. That Canon never is the first person to come up with their thing, but when they do come out with it, it's going to be as good or better than what everyone else was doing. You know, Sony's been the lead for 3 years now, 4 years now in terms of this sort of stuff. And now Canon finally comes out with, here, we're finally doing it. Here's our camera. And they don't disappoint.
Especially that eye tracking autofocus, which, you know, people using Sony have been raving about for years now. And I was kind of on my radar, and I thought, oh, cool, they're adding it to Canon stuff or whatever. I now understand what they were freaking out about.
because now you don't ever have to worry about your focus point anymore.
That plus the image stabilization, the quality of, the camera is great, and the adapter works great with my EF lenses, but putting that RF glass on that camera was, it's the first time I've really opened up and looked at the files and been like, good Lord Almighty.
So do you think
this is a machine?
Do you really think the RF glass is that much of an improvement over an adapter and your old L-series glass?
Whether it's an improvement or whether it just works better with the R-series cameras, like the technology all works in conjunction, Yeah, I think, I mean, the images with the EF lenses look awesome, but the RF lenses are just, it's just better.
See, and that's, I hate to hear that because that makes me go, okay, great. Now, when I go to the R, now I'm going to definitely want to get those. And now we're looking at really breaking the bank.
But that's the thing. Here's the other thing. And I'm making a YouTube video about this, so spoiler alert. To me, the 35 millimeter was just as good sharpness wise and focus wise, and it's got a few things that aren't, it's not as robust, it's not as hardy, it's not as weather sealed, the focusing is a little slower, but and it makes a, it's a lot, it's a little louder when it focuses, like the zzz, 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 compared to the 85, but it's also 400 or 499 as opposed to, you know, 2000,
right?
And so, and but that 35, just all I'm saying, even the cheap RF glass is excellent.
I'm a little tired because I was awakened early this morning by my beautiful bride. This is the world I live in. This is a typical experience in my house. I was awakened. I'm sorry to wake you up, but I have to go later today to get the parking pass for Sam at the high school. I'm like, okay. And I have to have the registration and proof of insurance on my car. Okay. I can't find them anywhere. I've looked everywhere. I can't find them anywhere. And you had them last because you had to have them when you went with Sam to get her driver's license. Okay, did you look in the, I go, they were all in a folder. They were all in a, I would have put them back. That's the way I am. I know, but I can't find them anywhere. Did you look in where we keep important documents? Yes, I did. Did you look in the glove box of your car? Of course. Did you look in both glove boxes? What do you mean? You have two glove boxes in your car. There's the lower glove box, like a traditional glove box. And then in the dash, there's a smaller box, got a big button on it right there. Hang on. So she runs downstairs. I'm waiting, you know, comes back. Okay, they were in there. They were in the top glove box. The one you didn't know existed in your own car? Yes.
Sounds about right.
Okay, great. But listen, this is not the right registration. This registration is expired. I don't even know how you were able to use this with Sam. And I'm like, okay, so I'm going to have to go see if I can find a current registration. Okay. There she goes. I'm like, okay, great. I might as well get up now. I get up, I take a shower, I go downstairs. She's on the computer. Yeah, my sleep is ruined. She's on the computer. Well, I said, what's going on?
Way to go, Bobby.
They've got to send it to us, Gare. They got to send us the registration. It's going to take 2 weeks or whatever, which means I'm not going to be able to get her car passed, her thing today, because, you know, the registration's not up to date. And I go, well, the sticker on your license is up to date.
That means they've sent it.
She goes, yeah, but this piece of paper is not. This is from 2018. And I'm like, okay. She goes, I don't even know how you use this.
You bought the 2 year.
So I go, okay. So I pick it up and it's issued in 2018. And then right here, it expires June of 2021. And I'm like, Bob, did you look here where it says expires? Well, I just thought they were for a year. I mean, I saw it was issued and I thought they were just for a year. I'm like, it's a year or it's 3 years. And right. I got the 3 year because I know we're not selling your car anytime soon. And right here in big, big font here, it says expires June 2021. And so this was the correct registration that was inside your glove box that you didn't know existed, apparently, in your own car. And you got me out of bed.
Where's the part where you ended up being wrong? I'm waiting for you to get to
there. There's no part. I was no point wrong. And here's the capper. We get in the car to go to the chiropractor. And I'm like, I can't believe you didn't know that there was this other little glove box in your car. It's right here. There's a big button. She goes, no, I never knew it was there. She goes, and you know what was odd, though, was that when I reached in there and got your paper, the papers out, my glasses were in there that I've been missing for a while. And I'm like, Bob, I didn't put your glasses in there. You had to put your glasses in that glove box. So obviously you know your glove box was there.
Or one of the kids.
I can't imagine they would. Are you kidding? We can't get the kids to bring a McDonald's bag out of the damn car. They're damn sure not going to put her glasses in the thing. So I was just like, oh my God. And you got me out of bed for this.
Do you want to hear something funny about this? Is the reason that I immediately thought, knew what happened, because I never get the multi-year registration. You and I have had this conversation, not on the show, but talking about getting your registration, and this is exactly the type of thing that Blu-ray does. You're like, oh man, I just get the 3 year and I don't worry about it.
Only did it on her car because I knew that we weren't going to be selling it. But on any other car, I get the 1 year because what if you have to sell it and et cetera.
You see, this is exactly the type of thing I know that you have thought about.
Sure.
And done a spreadsheet on and made a decision. And in fact, something that we have actually talked about.
Well, listen, so, here's a problem. I have to do it because my wife ran a title insurance company. So she dealt with important documents and escrow and all of this stuff. All that you've got to have everything. The T's have got to be crossed. The I's have got to be dotted. Everything's got to be perfect. But in her own life, I mean, there are areas where she is meticulous down to the wire and everything is organized and perfect. And then there are this other areas she just can't be bothered to care. And one of them is registration and proof of insurance on her car. She just won't. I have to do it. I have to pick
that.
I have
to
put the king in her car.
To fall into that black hole.
I have to put the sticker on her license for her every time, because if I give it to her, I'm like, here's your car, here's your proof of insurance. So put this in your car. Okay. And then 3 months later, I'll look and it'll still be sitting there under some papers.
We have a buffet counter in our kitchen. At one point, our small galley kitchen was expanded in the old days when my house was built in 53. And it was what was the old dining room was sort of obliterated and turned into the kitchen. And the fridge was moved out of the kitchen. And there's this long buffet counter next to the refrigerator that many people just would turn this counter into the place where you just dump all your mail and all your crap. So this has become a point of contention in my home. It is a place where just junk accumulates, where people just like put things when you don't know what to do with a thing. It just ends up on this counter. And I'm constantly trying to clear this counter off because it has become the center of my sanity. If this counter is just covered in junk, my whole life feels like it's a mess. Do you have anywhere in your house?
Yes, we have
like that.
We have that counter. We have that little bar counter. And in addition, we have something called the kitchen table that has become that place. So on my kitchen table right now, like if I go to eat breakfast, there's like, okay, here's a bag from Chick-fil-A from yesterday. Here's a cup that's sweating all over the table from Chick-fil-A last night. Here's a book bag and a laptop. Here's a bottle of bleach and some liquid plumber that needs to go upstairs at some point. Here's some jewelry. It's just covered all times. Our children just use it as a huge dumping ground. It drives me nuts.
Eye of Newt, a cauldron, a mortar and pestle.
It's all this horrible. Story? It's just always covered. And I'm just like, can we just keep this table clear for eating?
So we have this, talking about your wife's blind spots, we have this counter in my house. And Julie doesn't see it. It's like it doesn't exist. It's like whenever she turns, it just is like a blob in her vision.
Yes.
Because the whole house will be immaculate, but that counter will still be a disaster. And I'm like, you know, this is part of the house. Right, like this isn't like sanctuary for garbage.
Yeah.
This isn't like junk mail purgatory. This is if we could clear this off. And so here's the thing, though. I feel bad about ever talking about it, just because she does so much.
Right, she cleans the whole house. And see, I have the same problem with me. My wife does so much that I can't come down on her, you know, for not doing it.
Yeah. So I mean, it's. And I've got enough problems of my own. I don't want to let's not just start opening each other up to our criticisms for the things that we all do wrong. I'm sure that I have plenty.
You got to allow that because if they come back at you, it's not going to be pretty. There's going to be some stuff. There's going to be some stuff out there that you're doing.
Like you got to.
Yeah. Let's talk about the condition of the toilet seat, Mr. Only Man in the House. Let's talk about, you know, there's going to be some issues.
You trim your beard and left your beard hairs all over the bathroom floor. Yeah. You know, that guy.
So you just got to live and learn.
You left your prescription bottles where the baby could reach them. Yeah. You want to talk about that?
But I live in a house. Well, you know, she came in and I'm going to show you. She came in just yesterday. She just came in. I was playing a game and she just stuck this in front of me and you can see what I'm holding up. It's a little container. I think it's earwax remover, but you can see that it has been chewed up by the dog. And she just set this in front of me, you know, as if to say, once again, you have left something out that the dog could, you know, no comment, just once again, you have almost killed our dog.
Yes. Well,
this is from the woman who about once a week, I find a pair of her underwear in the yard where the dog has evacuated.
He loves her.
Yeah, he loves her. The underwear. So, yeah. But see, I live in a house with three of these people, and you are going to live in a house with four eventually.
Right.
Where you are going to find, like, there's a vacuum cleaner in the hallway
in a house with four of these people, but they just leave different things instead of, like, grown-up or young adult things.
Yes,
it's just
but they're young.
Things.
When they get older, it becomes more frustrating. You expect it from a child. But when they're in, like, high school and they still can't manage to put the vacuum cleaner away, and they just walk around it every day again and again and again, you will want to literally kill them.
Yeah. That's why I've got I make my own space, got my own little office in the spare room, a little set of noise canceling headphones. Just going to live in my own little world.
That's what I do. I live in this little room right here. This is my little sanctuary, and this is where I live. Where's Dad? He's in his office.
And everything has a spot right where it goes.
All right. It's time for photography news.
It is.
Photography news. Photography news is sponsored by RetouchUp.com. And RetouchUp has a great service. We talked about this last week. They have a great service where they can do complete restorations for you. And if you right now sign up as a new client at RetouchUp.com, be sure and list Photobomb Podcast as where you heard about the service. You will get an introductory offer for signing up, and you can get half price off your first restoration.
Yes, and fun fact, I just booked my first photo restoration this week.
Really?
Whoop, whoop. Yeah, I had a random client call yesterday, and he says, hey, I got this old picture of me that I love that I want to have it brought back to life. And I get calls all the time for stuff that I don't do, and I thought, you know what? Yeah. I was like, yeah, sure. I just threw a price at him. He's like, yeah. He's like, that's worth it to me. I love this photo, and it was not cheap. And I said, hey, I'm going to send this to retouchup.com to have them do it.
You know, thinking about it now, I'm thinking now what I need to do is try and track down some old photos, right? Some good old photos, and then send them to RetouchUp, have them restored, and then create a page on my website specifically for that and try and SEO it. And so that, I mean, because it's just a pass through. It's the easiest thing in the world. They come to you, you send it up, and then you charge them. So yeah, I mean, why not, right?
Seriously, what is better in life than making money for not having to do a thing?
Conan, what is good in life? Kill your enemies. See them driven before you. Hear the lamentations of the women. Also, cheap photo restoration from RetouchUp.com.
Yes.
little script doctoring to Conan.
Yeah, I loved it. It was really good, yeah. No, normally it's $35 to do a restoration, and that's no matter the damage to the photo, but you can get 50% off that restoration service if you send. Now here's how it works. It's a little different, so it's a little effort, but if you do this, you can save some money. Try this out. Add this to your business. That will generate extra income for you. That'll be very, very easy to do. You have to email. What's the email, Boo Ray?
Email who?
You have to email them.
Oh, Gary P. Gary P. at RetouchUp.com.
That's right. That's Gary from RetouchUp. Just email GaryP at RetouchUp.com and say, I want my half-off restoration coupon. I listen to Photobomb or whatever. Just write him a love letter. Say thank you for sponsoring my favorite podcast. I'm sure he would love to hear from you. Send whatever email you feel like to Gary P. Just put Photobomb in the description of the email or whatever, and he'll give you that coupon. And this is for new accounts and existing RetouchUp customer. So even if you already have a RetouchUp.com account, you can still get this discount. It's free money just for sending an email. Email Gary P at RetouchUp.com. Check that service out. I'm doing it this week and I'm excited about it, and you should do the same.
All right. In photography news this week, I mean, the big lead story has got to be the whole thing with Lightroom, right? I mean, this just dropped like a day or two ago that there was an update to Lightroom. If you are using the Lightroom app on a tablet, on a Mac, right? This is what we always on Mac. So if you're using like a Mac tablet and you're using the Lightroom app, if you updated, you might have lost some presets and some files.
Yes.
And this is the first time I've ever heard of this happening. In the whole time we've done the podcast, we've never had a story where some sort of software had destroyed people's photos.
I think that the ransomware hack that Canon had last week might have lost some people's data, but they may yet get that back. I'm not really sure. But by the way, Canon USA's website is back up again. But
They said that since they've released another fix for it, so it's solved now. I don't think you have to worry much, because now if you were to update, you would update to the new fix and you would be fine. But they did acknowledge that if you had pictures and presets that were not backed up to Adobe's Creative Cloud, I guess you would need your presets would need to be backed up to Adobe's Creative Cloud, I guess, and your pictures would need to be backed up anywhere. Then they're gone and they're not coming back.
This is a strong argument for having a physical backup, yes, as well as a cloud backup. A cloud backup is great; it's very convenient, but you know, in the world we live in today, it's not, it shouldn't be the only way that you're backing up your photos.
If you had a cloud backup in this case, you'd be fine.
Right, but this is for Lightroom Mobile, which all your stuff is in the cloud that way.
Okay, yeah, so you're saying that your work was not actually on your tablet. It was being pulled from the Adobe Cloud?
Yes.
Okay. I was under the impression that it was more like if you brought a picture into your tablet and then worked on it in Adobe, that if that picture wasn't backed up, and when I say backed up, I mean the version that you're working on wasn't backed up, because it didn't go into your pictures file on your tablet and delete your pictures. It didn't do that. It's just that if you've got a picture, you've opened it up in this app, and you've done work on it in this app, that is gone. That's what's gone, that file. The app didn't actually, you know, delete your pictures file, and it didn't go into your backup with Apple, and it didn't go in, you know, but I think it's like if you've got a file in progress, you know, you've saved it as a digital negative or whatever, that's what got wiped out, because those don't get backed up.
Oh, I see. I'm reading that right now. It says, Adobe has since released a statement which largely repeats Flores' comments about the data being deleted. The statement clarifies that the issue specifically affected Lightroom Mobile users without an Adobe Cloud subscription, as well as subscribers with photos and presets that hadn't been synced to the Adobe Cloud at the time of the update. So the company also noted that some customers might be able to recover their data from iPhone or iPad backups. Yeah,
it's the same way. Like if you buy a new phone, you back up your phone before you install. You back up your phone before you move to the new phone. Well, this is what happened. You installed a new version of Lightroom, and you didn't back up your presets and stuff that you'd created with the old one because you didn't have Adobe Creative Cloud, or you did and you hadn't synced, and so that stuff was wiped. And which makes sense. I get it, but still. If you had a bunch of presets and stuff that you had created, man. I mean, like right now, looking at your Photoshop presets, could you imagine if like tomorrow you lost all your Photoshop presets? I've got presets I've used for 10 years.
Yeah, I do luckily have, I've moved computers enough times and I haven't really changed the actions and stuff that I've used that much. So I do have them I'm backed up.
Well, I do too. But what if you didn't is what I'm saying. What if you updated Adobe and suddenly all your presets were gone and you couldn't get them back?
Be super annoying.
Yeah.
Man,
super what
annoying. Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, in photography news also, speaking of Adobe has added support for the EOS R5 to its products as of this week, which was kind of big. Although I think it's missing still a couple of the profiles. But overall, now you can view your RAW files without having to convert them to DNGs or TIFFs, which I've been doing, which was a huge pain in the butt. And as I mentioned earlier on the show, Capture One also, within the next 2 days after Adobe added EOS R5 support to its software, which has been fantastic. So that is the big the big problem with buying a camera brand new is that nothing works with it. And people have reported stuff as like, it won't use high speed sync with their particular strobes or all these other things, you know? So like, if you do are the first one to get a camera, yes, it's very sexy and exciting, but it's also been a huge pain in the butt to actually work with these files at all. And so thankfully now, that job I shot yesterday was the first time I was able to process a shoot from the R5 as normal, and it was just bliss, man. Absolutely awesome to have that.
There was a story about copyright in the news, which I thought was very interesting. It had to do with the website BuzzFeed, and it's a victory for us, and it may be something that we hear a lot from in the future. It may be a very important precedent, and it starts back in 2017 when a man named Gregory Mango had licensed a picture to the New York Post. And when the New York Post ran that picture on their website, they gave him a photo credit, what they call a gutter credit, at the bottom saying that that he had done the picture. And then later, BuzzFeed was doing a story and they contacted this man's law firm. I guess he was a lawyer. And they say that the law firm told them just use the picture from the New York Post. The law firm says, I'm pretty sure we didn't tell him that. It's very possible that they said, oh, well, the picture that was used in the New York Post would be a good one, something along those lines. But that's not the same as saying, go steal it from the New York Post, which is what BuzzFeed did. They went and grabbed the picture from the New York Post, they put it on BuzzFeed, and they replaced the gutter credit and replaced it with the name of the man's law firm, as if the picture had come from the man's law firm and not from this original photographer. So he sued. And the court ruled in his favor, and then they appealed. and the court continued to rule in his favor. Now, here's the thing. There were two parts to the lawsuit. The first part was that you published the picture without paying me. They didn't contest that. He sued them for that, and they said, okay, yeah, we're not going to contest that. That's what we did. But the second part is interesting. The Digital Millennium Copyright Act, and I don't know the legal jargon of it, but basically, if you strip someone's copyright information off of a photo, that is a violation of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. And so he
Please
sued
say
them
that one more time.
The Digital Millennium Copyright Act, the DCMA, the DMCA. So that is what they appealed, because they said, quote, there was no evidence that it knew its contact with that its conduct would lead to future third party infringement. So I'm guessing what they're saying is that that exists. If you strip someone's copyright, the reason that's so bad is not just for stripping their copyright, but also that you're making it so that picture can be more easily stolen and copied by other people because you have stripped this away. You know, in the ways, I guess, that like if you take a, I don't know, if you take a catalytic converter off of a car, you're making it more easy for that car to pollute. So they said that no, that we didn't know that was going to be the case. The judge said, doesn't matter. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. You shouldn't have stripped it off, and this is going to stand.
Yeah, you can't go, I didn't know what the speed limit was, so I just drove 100.
Right. But what this is going to do, what this is going to do in the future is it's going to make it much more easy to sue somebody if they take one of your pictures that you have put a copyright stamp on or you've put information embedded in the picture. If they take one of those pictures, it's going to be much more easy for you to get a settlement out of them, because there is now a case on the books of a person losing this case.
Well, that's great.
Right. Here's what I thought was horrible, though. The settlement was $3,750 in statutory damages for copyright infringement, $5,000 in statutory damages for violation of the DMCA.
Okay.
And also reimbursement of reasonable attorney's fees to the man to the tune of $65,000.
Right, yeah. So the attorney's fees were 10 times more than the actual guy got for winning the case. Yes. Yeah.
He ended up getting $8,000, and the attorneys got $65,000 in order to run this all the way through the courts. Which goes back to, you know, we don't talk about it much anymore because it got held up by some guy in Oregon, but it goes back to all the talk we did about copyright change and us trying to get it passed on Capitol Hill so that
the
we wouldn't
act,
have this
yeah.
problem. Here's a perfect example. Here's a guy just trying to get, you know, $5,000 or $3,000 because his picture was stolen, and he has to spend $65,000 on lawyers to get it.
Yeah, $65,000 in lawyers' fees in order to get $8,000 in your settlement money.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane. That's why we need the CASE Act. So, Senator Ron, what's your face from Oregon? Get your head out of your butt. Let's roll on the CASE Act. That's really irritating. Yeah. Yeah, it's because that's why it's not worth it. Because if he had lost that case, he would have still owed those lawyer fees.
Yes. Yeah. I can't believe he took the case as far as he did.
Unless the attorney agreed to not take any payment unless they got damages. Because sometimes attorneys will do that because they know that the court will award them reasonable legal fees.
Right.
And so if they feel like they have a good enough chance, a lawyer might take that on spec. But an attorney could just as easily have an agreement that says you have to pay us whether we win or lose because we're putting the hours in.
I can't believe that's the case. I can't believe that the guy was, I mean, at some point, once the fees hit $10,000-$15,000, I'd be like, okay, you know, we're calling it because yeah. I can't continue to pay this. I'm not going to get enough money.
Well, the fees hit $15,000 after they filed their first thing and sent their first email. And it's like, oh, there you go. Ding, ding, hit $15,000. So what now? Yeah, so also in Adobe news, Adobe Max conference has gone virtual this year thanks to the pandemic. That's bad news. Good news is registration for Adobe Max is free. So if you want to check out Adobe Max and all the cool stuff that they're doing, like hopefully making their cloud services more secure, you can find out at the free Adobe Max conference virtual, which should be pretty cool. It's always a good time. They always have great instructors. And so I think that's a cool one to watch out for. What else you got?
Google Images is rolling out a new beta idea, which I think is pretty cool. And the idea is that if you have a picture on, well, I was going to say if you have it on Google Images, but no, if you have it on the internet, because that's what Google Images is, right? It pulls up all these pictures from all over the internet. That you are going to be able to, whenever you put a picture on your website, you will be able to select the picture and then put in some form or whatever, I guess, that Google provides, be able to put some information in that says, this picture is licensable.
Right. So you're willing to let someone use it for a fee.
Right. And what this will do is it will fix it so that you have a badge or a little tag on your pictures when they show up in Google Photos. So if somebody goes into Google and they Google picture of a rhinoceros and they all these pictures of rhinoceroses, some of them will have licensable.
Rhinoceroses.
The rhinoceri.
Rhinoceros.
Or licensable.
Licenses.
If you'd like the licensable rhinoceri.
License rhinoceri.
Hamburger. If you would like the licensable rhinoceri, then it will be easier. You will be look at the page. You'll be able to look at the page and you go, oh, this one can be licensed. This one can be licensed. This one can be licensed. And that's great for people who want to license the images. But the other thing that's good about that is that hopefully it will bring awareness to people. Because once they start to see that, maybe people will go, okay, these could be licensed, which means, oh, I'm not supposed to use these others. I'm not supposed to take these others. I don't know if that would be the case, but it would be nice.
That's pretty cool. Google's been pretty progressive on that. And remember, they even took away the save this image button off of their
the
image
view
search.
Button. Yeah, they had the button. You could hit view, and then you could download a full size and then never go to the website.
Right, yeah, they made it a little more difficult to just grab images off of Google Image Search. And yeah, so, you know, kudos. I think that's really cool. And maybe, I don't know, are they going to get money off of this or what? They're going to...
Well, it's interesting you should say that. I haven't seen that anywhere. I haven't seen
you're gonna
where,
have to
Google,
register with
where Google's going to be like, oh, and we take a percentage if they
click. Like, you're going to have to register it with Google as a licensable image either through some third-party service or through Google itself, and Google's going to... You better believe they're going to take their piece of the action. But honestly, if they make a way for photographers to make more money off of their images, you know, to have their own... I mean, it would probably be in their best interest if they don't already own something, which I can't imagine why they wouldn't, like buy out iStock Photo or something like that, and then just buy something with an infrastructure in place and have you, if you license your images through iStock Photo, then it automatically you can tag them through Google Image Search as licensable or whatever, you know?
Right.
Out of that, I think that's great. Go Google. More money for creators.
A couple of good stories this week regarding protecting your images on the internet.
Yeah. Hey, and remember how last week, which camera manufacturer was it that finally made it so that you could use their cameras as webcams? Was it Nikon that was last on the bus last week?
I think it was Nikon.
It Panasonic, maybe? I forget which one. Was the review
I think it was Nikon.
Well, boy, was I wrong, because as of today, Sony has released software that makes it...
Oh, I thought Sony had already done it.
Sony had not, apparently. Oh. Canon first to the punch, followed by Fuji, followed by Olympus is in there somewhere. I'm pretty sure Olympus has done it. So I believe that out of all the major names in the game, all who have a significant market share, Sony being the second largest market share in full-frame DSLRs anyway, you can now use your Sonys as your webcam with this software that they have made. Imaging Edge, maybe? I'm not sure. But yeah, so... Now I get to, I thought I was making fun of Nikon last week because they were slow to do it, but now I get to make fun of Sony. Like, way to go, you guys. Welcome to the party. Last one in. Now you have to buy everybody's lunch. So also in news, Canon announces, and this isn't terribly exciting, but I did want to have a conversation about this. Canon, according to Canon rumors, a new Canon Speedlight has appeared for certification. So Canon will be probably releasing a new Speedlight coming up here shortly, or at least announcing one. So we've talked about off-camera lighting and what gear we like to use and all that stuff. And what would this Speedlight have to offer you to have you consider getting rid of your current gear and going back and looking at Canon Speedlights again?
That's a great question, because that was the first thing I thought when you said that was I thought, okay, what's it going to have, you know, that makes it worthwhile? Because I can tell you what it's definitely going to have. It's going to have a high price tag.
Yeah.
Canon's very proud of their speed lights. And when the 600s came out, you know, they were like almost $600 a piece.
Yeah, but to be fair, they had their wireless technology was rock solid. And they're extremely reliable, working all day without overheating. So, they really are great, great units. However, you know, they are higher priced than what's in the market right now. So, do you think that they're going to release a speed light and change the price to sort of win some back the market share? Or are they going to have a new technology that's going to make it more interesting?
Because
the thing that they need that they don't have is going to be that lithium ion rechargeable battery.
That's okay. That's what I was going to say. Let's go with your first question, which is what do they need to do to make themselves really viable you know, in that, because I don't think they really are that viable, personally. If you're using a Canon camera and you want a speed light for it, Canon should be like third on your list, because there's just less expensive options out there that are, do a better job, and there's just no reason. I mean, and they lost that place so quickly. You know, I mean, they were oh, you got a Canon camera, use a Canon speed light, and then boom, it got knocked off quick. So number one is, if it comes out and it takes regular batteries right off the bat, I think Godox has shown us the way home on that. All the manufacturers of speed lights need to be coming out with the lithium ion batteries that are rechargeable and that last much, much, much longer. So that's step one. Step two is price. And then step three is there's the round head thing, which I'm still not sure the round head speed light thing, is it just a gimmick?
No, you can definitely tell the difference shape-wise, but it would be, to me, I mean, and maybe I'm wrong here, but it would be the difference between a round softbox and a square softbox. There is a difference that you can tell.
But that's only if you're using it as direct flash. And if you're using a speed light as direct flash, you're in trouble in a whole lot of other ways other than the fact that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. I like the round head. I don't know why I like the round head.
I think it's more aesthetically, it's cool. Yeah, sure. Yeah. One of the things that I'd heard that Nikon was working on this years ago, and I never saw anything else from it, was that they were supposed to have a prototype out. I think Joe McNally had maybe used this prototype. Or maybe he was just talking about he wished they had it. I don't know, because we never saw it. But it was basically, you could buy filters for the speed light, like a CTO gel, you know, a tungsten light filter or et cetera. And they were hard plastic filters, right? Like caps. And you would just snap it onto the front cap. And when you did, the camera would automatically change your white balance to match the filter.
That would be slick.
Right? So imagine anytime you're shooting in a tungsten environment or whatever, you just pull out that thing, go pop, you pop it on there. Your camera automatically goes to tungsten for you. And you keep shooting. That's a cool thing. It wouldn't be worth the price of admission necessarily, you know. And it would be so niche, because that's only going to help you if you're shooting in a tungsten environment, a lot of tungsten, full tungsten and nothing else. Because if you're shooting in an environment that's got tungsten light and window light, well, then you're not going to be able to match it accurately anyway with that filter, because it's not going to be pure. So I mean, that's a cool feature. But other than that, I mean, I feel like everything's been done, right? I mean, more power. If you come out with a light that's almost as powerful as an 8200, so I don't have to have 8200s. I only have to have the speed lights. Now we're talking.
Yeah, give me 150 watt seconds, 200 watt seconds out of a, you know, out of a speed light. Give me a lithium ion battery, you know, and make that thing last for ages. Built-in wireless. It's got to have all that stuff at least. If they come out with something that doesn't have the power, and it doesn't have the battery, it's just not going to be competitive. Because you could come up with something really cool, like Canon came out with the AI kind of the flash points.
Oh, that's right, the one that would point itself. Yeah, oh, that's right. Whatever happened to that flash?
I don't know. I never got to test one out, but you know, so people will definitely be impressed with technology like that, but it's not like everybody jumped ship back to using Canon speed lights because of that. Although I believe that was really aimed at people who were just getting ready to step into their first flash kind of a thing. But even then, the price was pretty high, even though the technology was really cool. So you can make technology that's kind of gimmicky and ignore the... It, like what Apple does, it like ignores the fact that it doesn't have a headphone jack and comes up with some other technology that's kind of cool, but not nearly as practical as having a headphone jack.
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, I mean, it's just funny that you mentioned the AI thing, and I totally forgot about that.
Right, yeah, I don't think it was... It wasn't super practical, I don't think. I mean, it could be, and that technology could develop into something really, really neat. But, you know, as far as the thing that working photographers need is, we need the battery to last a long time, we need more power, and a lot of really cool native accessories are really useful. One of the reasons I really like that Godox V1 is it's got so many killer accessories that you just, the magnetic top and they clip on, and I think the Profoto A1 is the same, you know, and those are incredibly, incredibly useful. And you'd have to. So I'll be interested to see what they come up with. The main thing I think is that battery, and if they lower the price, not doesn't have to get down and play down there with Godox, but you can't be three times the price of a flash that's not as good.
I'm just waiting for the future where you know, like you bring the camera up to your eye and like the flash just breaks into two pieces, like little micro drones just float off the flash and take position left and right to give you fill and main and you know and get your shot and then come right back to and dock.
In the year 2000.
Yeah, that's the next thing, because just about anything else you need is already being done.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's pretty wild though. I got to tell you, the technology. I don't want to kick the crap out of this horse, but I'm going to kick the crap out of this horse. I have been so in the world of following everybody doing reviews and commentary on the EOS R5 and the R6, and overheating and the video specs and stuff like that. And obviously, you know, some of that stuff pretty annoying depending on what you do. And yes, sure. Hopefully, the firmware update is going to give us more capability. But everybody seems to have forgotten that this incredible photographer's camera. Like, this is a stills camera. $3,900. It has all the stuff everybody asked for and more. And it's been a long time since yesterday I came back off my job and I was like buzzing. I had so much fun shooting. The camera just made it easier for me to be creative. It took care of some of the technical stuff, like finding the eye, focusing, just being tack sharp, the image stabilization, and I just got to create, and I had a blast with it, and I just couldn't believe it. So, I don't want to be too hyperbolic, but it's striking me as maybe the best camera I've ever shot with.
It should be the best camera you've ever shot with.
It's incredible. Like it's an incredible machine, and you know, if they fix it all up, I can't wait. If they fix it all this, if they fix the overheating or repair some of the overheating issues for video and give it some extra capabilities through a firmware update, I just can't wait to just shut my mouth and take a very quiet victory lap around all the people that have been hating on it. And like the decision in a pandemic when business is obviously slow, the decision to spend $4,000 on a camera was not an easy one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so to have that, I'm just hoping that that decision will be universally justified. And so yesterday I was like, holy crap. Yeah, this is good stuff.
Yeah. Well, I've been watching the excitement and getting the texts and all from you. And it sucks for me because it's getting me excited and making me want to go. And I absolutely can't justify it. Because now you come on the show and you're, oh, let me talk about how great the lens. Oh, great. That's just what I need. Now I got to buy the lenses too. Oh, my gosh. You know, I can't afford that right now. I'm not working.
Well,
not working
anyway. I just sold my 5D Mark III yesterday. I just had the guy came pick it up and pay me for it. Yeah,
Was your shutter count?
205,000.
And isn't it supposed to be like, aren't you supposed to like stop it? Like I had to have my guts replaced because I sent it to Canon and they were like, we're not sending this back to you unless we replace the shutter mechanism.
Yeah, I believe it's 130 to 150,000 is the recommended, like you need to change the shutter, you need to replace the shutter.
Right.
Yeah, I was at 205 or 208,000 was my shutter count. So it was like pretty high there, so the guy bought it and I'm like, look, you know, I priced it accordingly. I said, you know, every time I bust it out, this camera works. It's a dream. It's a workhorse. It's a great camera. And but this guy was upgrading from a digital Rebel. And so
The Mark III is fantastic. Like, I love the Mark III.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like this. I said, this is going to be it. But he came in and everything he's shooting in his whole lens set is built around having a 1.6 crop. And so he put his 50 mil on there and because you know, he was essentially getting 85 with that. And so I'm like, oh, well, you know what? You don't want a camera. Just buy it. You don't want a lesson from me. You're probably going to want an 85. I'll shut up. Because the first thing I did when I switched from a crop sensor to a full frame camera is I realized that my 50 wasn't going to be my go-to portrait lens for headshots and stuff anymore. So the first lens I bought was an 85. So I got that same focal length but anyway, so yeah, I did want to do one thing before we leave today, because we have had some wonderful bombardiers use the Apple Podcast app to leave us a review. Now, the way that the algorithm works with Apple Podcasts is when we get more reviews over a certain period of time, the show is going to appear in more searches. It's going to show it to more people. We get more listeners. We can make more time to do the show. We can attract more sponsors, and the show gets bigger, and you get to come along with us, and we can create even better content for you. So if you've got a second, use your podcast app. Right, whatever app you use, you can do it with your device. If you're listening on your phone, scroll right down to the bottom and just leave us a review, a rating at least, and that really, really helps the show. So from Two Moons Photography, the review is entitled "More Please." Listening to Bure and Gary is like having a conversation with your friends. I get great ideas and information from the podcast, and the photo news is enlightening. If I had to say something negative, it would be I need more than one podcast per week. Smiley face. Keep up the great work. Isn't that nice?
That is very nice. Very nice.
And so we're very excited to have you guys on board. I appreciate it. Thank you for that wonderful review. And, get some more of those for us, not because we like to hear how great you think we are. You can be funny. You can say whatever you want in the review. Just make sure it's 5 stars. Yeah. So many people as possible. Right? You know, we should give a special prize to the funniest review for next week. That's what we should do.
Okay. That's dangerous, though. I think that's dangerous.
Yes.
Just so you know.
Right. Okay, I will, yeah, we'll think of something. We'll do something very special.
Well, we already give you a prize. If you give us a review, we read it on the air, and we give your name and everything. I mean, that's pretty cool.
No, I think we'll do better. I think we can do better.
All right, you work on that.
I'll work on that. I'll come up with an idea that you will immediately hate.
Yes.
And then I'll make you do anyway, because that's how this relationship works.
Hey, don't forget, you can get involved in the conversation online. Go to facebook.com/photobombpodcast because that's where all of the bombardiers talk about the show. You can find our website at photobombpodcast.com. Gary's website is hughesfioretti.com.
Mm-hmm.
My website is bureperry.com. And you can email us questions@photobombpodcast.com. We'll see you back here next week.
See you later.